Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. My name is John Peters, and I'm here with Kyle McKelvey. This week, we're recapping all the action from week four and looking ahead to the start of SEC play and more. Let's talk college baseball. Kyle, how's it going?
Pretty good. We got a fun week of baseball ahead of us, and it's going to be really exciting to watch as more conference play gets going.
This always feels like the time of the year with March Madness just getting going for college basketball, where the season in some ways loses momentum, but in other very real ways gains a lot of momentum. Like we saw Pac-12 play and ACC play get going. We have SEC play and one Big 12 series next weekend. So we have some more of the big conferences getting going. And I think this is when we're going to learn a lot about teams. If you look at the top 10 right now, you and I were talking about this off the air about how a lot of them haven't really been tested yet. And when you come down to conference play in the SEC or the Big 12 or any of these big conferences, that's going to be some meaningful games for a lot of teams.
Yeah. We'll finally get some good, like, actual resume boosters for this. I feel like this week Arkansas didn't earn the top spot. It was just kind of lost by Texas and then also Stanford.
Yeah, that's a great point. Let's touch on our rankings a little bit. So we have Arkansas at number one. It does feel like they sort of floated into that spot, not really like meaningfully climbed into it. We had Texas drop to number two. They just lost the series at South Carolina, which we'll talk a little bit more about, but they do have some pretty solid wins on the year. Florida State at number three, Vanderbilt number four, Tennessee number five, LSU six, and then Georgia Tech, Ole Miss, Stanford, and Oklahoma State round out the top 10. Oregon State, Notre Dame knocking on the door. There's a lot of teams there. I mean, looking at this, I feel like the top 12 is almost completely interchangeable at this point.
Yeah.
Before this last weekend, I would feel like Texas was, I would say, the clear number one, not like a runaway number one, but like a pretty clear number one. Losing that series, it muddies the waters even more. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out.
Yeah, and I still think they could go back to number one at some point very soon because they're number two, so it's not like they've lost it. But Arkansas fans, I noticed, were like kind of mad at us for ranking them number one. They didn't feel like they were number one.
I think my understanding of that is that there's a lot of frustration, and maybe understandably so, with the Arkansas offense right now. Just not really getting going early in the season. And I mean, we aren't going to be the first people to kind of mimic this, but this Arkansas offense is going to hit. I the weather has been awful, and some teams have hit better. And if you look at the Arkansas offense right now, it's not really anything to write home about on our new stat sheet that you have for us. They're weighted on that base average is 390, which
81st in the country. That's over top third. I think that's in the top 20% probably.
Yeah. So they're a serviceable offense right now. So they are a number one team. We will see how many weeks they stay at number one. But let's break down a little bit of the action that happened last week, because we had a very odd pick'em. First, you were 4-for-4, so congratulations.
That's 2 weeks out of three.
Impressive. You had Florida State winning that series against Wake Forest on the road, which was a nail biter for you, but Florida State got the job done. Arizona winning at Cal. Man, I was following that game one, and it was one of the strangest ways I've ever seen a baseball game end. So it was at Cal. So Cal's the home team. They're down by three runs in the bottom of the ninth. In that inning, Arizona pitching allowed three wild pitches, one pass ball. They only had one hit in the inning, and it was one of the wild pitches that ultimately gave Cal the walk-off. So it was just a comedy of errors. Somehow Cal scores four runs with just one hit, a bunch of walks, hit batters, and pitches going to the backstop.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember like going through that. I was like, how does this happen?
Yeah. And I don't know, it's easy to look at that and be like, wow, Arizona is not a great team. It's not great. But they, to their credit, they came back and won the next two games in that series and ended up winning a road series to start conference play. So if you're that, you're Chip Hale head coach there, you're going to be pretty satisfied with winning your first weekend of the year. So Arizona gets the job done for you. That was your three-pointer. Notre Dame took the series at NC State, and OU won the series at UTSA. OU, I would say, had one of its steadier performances on the weekend, getting the sweep of a UTSA team that came into the weekend with nine wins already. So I think it's a reminder that Oklahoma has had a pretty tough strength of schedule, and the fact that they've lost a decent number of games, including that 0-3 weekend at Shriners, is at least somewhat of a reflection of the competition that they've played.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, and that UTSA team, I think I had said last week that if UTSA would win it, it would be because Oklahoma's pitching wasn't that good. And Oklahoma's pitching honestly wasn't that good. It was they gave up a total of 13 runs on the weekend, and there were some close games in there. I mean, they're all like by 5 runs or so, but like there's still like, I don't know, maybe Oklahoma's bats just, yeah, like you said, like the quality of pitching at Shriners really limited Oklahoma's bats. And yeah, they might get close to being a bubble team, but I think right now Oklahoma's probably like leaning out for me because they've been struggling, and I don't know if their offense can compete against the top teams in their conference.
I feel similarly. I want to see them get into Big 12 play, which is always a little bit slower and clunkier because of the fewer teams in the Big 12. So they actually don't get a Big 12 series. Their first one is not this next weekend, but the following one, where they host Baylor. And I think that's actually going to be a really good measuring stick series for them, because Baylor is basically, I would say, like kind of their biggest peer, maybe in the Big 12, like another one of those bubble team type teams that, you know, we're not super positive about what they're going to look like at the end of the season. And if you get that series at home, like you do, OU's got to win that series. And I think that's going to be a good way to see how OU will compete in the conference as a whole. So unfortunately, there was some injury news over the weekend. Landon Sims, not necessarily super surprisingly with the way he was injured. I mean, he was throwing nearly perfect before he heard a pop. And I think he got a couple of opinions on this. And eventually it was determined that yes, he indeed would need Tommy John surgery. Obviously a huge bummer. I mean, preseason All-American, this guy is going to be pitching for a long time, hopefully, but not at Mississippi State anymore. Full recovery and best wishes to Landon Sims. Fellow teammate Stone Simmons, also now out for the year, also a pitcher, a freshman pitcher for Mississippi State.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Might mark that junior. He's another guy out for the year. So down a couple pitchers in the midweek game, which at the time of this recording, it was last night. We had Lane Forsythe, the Mississippi State shortstop, come in and get a few batters out. Gave up a home run, but according to a Mississippi State source, he hit 90 on the gun with his fastball and had a pretty nice curveball. So very curious to see what role Lane Forsythe plays for Mississippi State moving forward.
Yeah, new midweek starter. Probably not.
But. Yeah, we'll see. I know like Chris Lemonis had a quote like saying, oh yeah, you know, he's a pitcher in high school, one of the top pitchers coming out of Tennessee. And he said, I want to contribute, so we gave him a chance. And I don't know. It's not a great sign when that's where you're at as an SEC team, still like, you know, pulling guys, position players in to throw pitches for you. But I think with the injuries that Mississippi State has had, it's kind of where they're at. And they're going to have to kind of get it figured out in a hurry. So that's why he might have a role as a reliever in a midweek game. But I don't know, I'd be surprised to see if he ever really pitches in SEC games.
Yeah, I saw that news coming across my Twitter last night, and I was like, do they mean Logan Forsythe? I feel like he's an MLB player. and I just looked it up to make sure. Yeah, Logan Forsythe did play for Arkansas, so not Mississippi State, but he was in the MLB like last year, so not the same guy. And so I just had to
two guys named Forsythe.
Confirm. Yeah. I was like, maybe they're brothers, but I don't think they are.
Well, regardless, we'll see how that story develops. Another big injury was Tanner Witt out for the year at Texas, Tommy John as well. He missed last weekend with throwing arm soreness was what they were saying in the course of the week that turned into going to have to get season-ending Tommy John surgery. So obviously Tanner Witt did not pitch against South Carolina, and we had a piece that was written by Tom Sipe for us. I was talking about like why Texas would win the national championship or championship or why they wouldn't. And one of the most obvious reasons for why they wouldn't would be injuries. And this is a big one. The Tanner Witt going down, the Sunday guy, immediately his absence has been missed. Texas got hit around on both the last Sundays that they had to pitch. I still think that they have one of the best 1-2 punches in college baseball in terms of just college pitchers, like guys that can get the job done. But they're going to have to figure out in a hurry who's going to be reliable for them in a weekend role, because South Carolina took advantage of them this weekend. They lost game one of that series. Had a weird little doubleheader on Sunday, which we saw a lot of that. We saw a lot of middle games get canceled. A lot of weird weather series get totally canceled. You know, at Missouri, that series was canceled. And Gonzaga was supposed to travel to Missouri, and they ended up playing like one game midweek instead of a weekend series.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. But regardless, weather played a factor. And honestly, like when we're talking here about how Tanner Witt has been injured, South Carolina won that series, and they themselves have not had the healthiest of pitching staffs. So really? When you think about like who's the advantage there, I think that 7-inning game to start the doubleheader was really probably advantage South Carolina, because they got a complete game there and were able to get that first W, make it competitive, give themselves a chance in that second game. So
yeah, pushing out Tristan Stevens, which is that the second part of that 1-2 punch pretty early on, like before he could get the 5 innings of work in, which 7-inning game, I guess it's almost a complete game, which is a little bit trickier, but pushing him out in after 4 2/3 with a couple earned runs and like a walk. And I think there were some errors in there too. There was an error. So I think the error was the difference in that 1/4 inning that pushed him out and that gave South Carolina the lead for good. But go ahead.
I'm trying to put this in their grand scheme of things. When I see Texas, I still think that this Texas team is probably the best team in the Big 12. And I even with this injury, I feel like this is not the end of the season. I think they might end up losing a few more games and maybe even lose a series or two over the next month as they kind of find new roles for guys. But this is not something that makes me want to push the panic button on Texas. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And that's not necessarily about Texas. I think that's kind of about the depth behind them. I think Oklahoma State is that next best team. And then you got TCU, Tech. And then in a distant fifth, I guess, Baylor. I think it's just, I don't know if I would trust Oklahoma State's offense. I thought I would coming in on the way, like in the beginning of the season, but I don't know if I'd trust Oklahoma State's offense against the Friday and Saturday guys that Texas has beat Hansen and Tristan Stevens. I think it's just, they're too good of a 1-2 punch. I think that would, that can really limit Oklahoma State, but maybe if Oklahoma State or TCU, whoever can get to one of those guys, and they have a really good chance of winning Sunday, at least until
Texas figures out there Sunday. That recipe a little bit, right?
Pretty much.
Guys out early.
Yeah, just got a lucky bounce here and there. Give an error here and there. Like, yeah.
So fortunately for Texas, their next 6 games are against outmatched opponents. They're doing a double midweek this week against Charleston and Citadel. They have a weekend they're hosting against Incarnate Word, and now the midweek against Central Arkansas. So that's 6 games for them to figure out. Four, or let's say 2 of those games are going to be pitched by Hansen and Stevens. but that gives them four games that are going to be pitched by somebody else that will hopefully give them a pretty good feel of who their Sunday starter is by the time they start Big 12 play the weekend of the 25th at Texas Tech. So
maybe a little bit concerning because they had a double midweek this past week too against like a home and home against Texas State.
Yeah,
so that's 3 weeks in a row, five games each. It's a lot to put on your pitching staff. I don't know. Maybe that at Texas Tech series, I would be predicting a Texas Tech win there just because it's hard to win at Lubbock for one, but also their pitching staff could be really beleaguered at that point.
Yeah, I think
that's a nickel word.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to think about because I think you want to have your – like my mindset is if you're David Pierce, I would rather – lose a game against Incarnate Word on Sunday or like I would be okay losing one of these midweek games against Central Arkansas or something if it meant giving guys pressure situations, like making guys get out of jams, things like that, so that you're ready for Big 12 play. So I see this as an opportunity for him to figure out his staff. And I think you might see some guys stretched out in the midweek, you know, see a guy give up three runs in the first inning and still see if they can go five innings or something. You know, I think I would predict David Pierce is going to be using these midweek games and that Sunday game against Incarnate Word to really test some of his pitchers.
Absolutely.
So nearly another tragic pitching injury with Blake Money, who hurt his wrists in his start for LSU. The word that we're getting from head coach Jake Johnson at LSU is that it wasn't serious, that he had some pretty tough rehab, that was feeling some pain, but that he would be able to expected to be pitching this weekend. So, I mean, anytime you see a pitcher leave a game with an injury, I don't know, it feels like, especially this year, with like, I don't know, all the guys that have already been knocked out for the year.
Crazy.
I know, like, do you have any, like, pet theories on why that's happening?
I don't. My thought was weather, like, cold weather and the stress of, like, against, like, the elbow and the shoulder, like, maybe you're using your throwing motion a little bit differently than you used to because it's cold. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like there's been no studies that I could find really quickly about like weather and Tommy John, but I don't know.
There's been some cold weather for sure. I don't know. I'm wondering if it had something to do with COVID. So like a lot of these guys didn't have as many opportunities to showcase themselves younger. So like, maybe guys are like, I haven't looked at it seriously, but maybe guys are pitching extra in their summer leagues, or maybe they're getting trying to get some extra outings and stuff just so they have more film on them. So maybe there's been some overworking of pitchers. It also could just be random.
Yeah. Random in all of the really big names that we've seen. I'm sure there's probably similar in D2 and D3. I haven't been able to go that in depth, but yeah, it's pretty wild.
That would be interesting to see if it's at all levels of baseball. What's going on?
Yeah.
But fortunately for LSU, Blake Money seems to be doing all right. So elsewhere in the pick'em from last week, we had one of those weird weather things happen was that my 4-point series, Campbell at Liberty, ended up being a 1-1 split because one of those games got canceled. So I think my solution for that is I get just an extra 4-point series this weekend. I was trying to think if that gave me like an advantage or a disadvantage, and I don't really know. So like, I don't know if you're okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think so. Like you have to make it a 4-point. I think that's fair.
So yeah. Well, I just get like 2 4-point slots.
Yeah. So five total series picked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing that I was thinking of was that we each get 2 points. Like that could be a simpler thing unless you want to pick more, that's fine too.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like you just
get points for me losing my series, is that what you're trying to say?
But you didn't lose it, you didn't win it, you didn't lose it.
I mean, I feel like a better solution would be I get 2 points for that, but that I got half credit. Why would you get points?
Because I gave you a tough series to pick. I don't know.
All right. I reject that offer.
That's fine. I like yours.
A quick overview that we also had Dallas Baptist sweep Southern Miss, kind of a wild result. Louisville took 2 out of 3 against Michigan. Did you watch any of that? The first day they were playing, it was like a straight up blizzard in Louisville.
Yeah.
Like it was like what the way that the recording made it look like was that it was like a snow globe out there.
I know. I don't know how the batters see the ball there. Like that's got to be impossible.
Yeah, so they stopped the second game. They had a doubleheader, so they stopped the second game and pushed that back and resumed it on Sunday. And anyways, Louisville won that series, and I'm not ready to say Louisville's like back or anything, because also like they didn't really go anywhere. They missed the tournament last year, but last year was a little bit of a weird year. But I think that Louisville is definitely competing at a level. They're at 11-4. They have had winning weekends every weekend except for the first one, which is a tournament. They went 1-2. I think that series win against Michigan is probably going to pay some dividends down the road. Michigan's probably going to end up as a team with a decent number of wins. They won a midweek against TCU this last week too. So they had a really nice 3-1 week. I'm optimistic at this point about Louisville, and they get tested really in a tough way this week with Notre Dame coming into town. So we're going to learn a lot about that Cardinals squad.
Yeah. And I think I'd be buying stock on Louisville being higher up in the ACC standings than we would have thought coming in. I'm not sure how good this Michigan team is. I know they're still talented and well coached.
Yeah, Michigan apparently, I haven't watched them play a lot, but their number of errors is just off the charts. Like their fielding percentage is one of the lowest in the Big Ten. So I think it's just been a sloppy team that hasn't pitched that well, but their offense has been really good. So that's like, I don't know. I could see that as like, well, I mean, normally when you think about cold weather teams, you think maybe their hitting might be a little bit behind. But so far for them, the hitting's been okay. It's their pitching that's been a little bit questionable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that still could be one of the better pitching staffs in the Big Ten, which doesn't say much about the Big Ten, but Big Ten still have an undefeated team, Purdue. That's
the only undefeated team, 15-0.
The only undefeated, yeah. Yeah, we lost two undefeated teams, right? Virginia and Clemson this weekend. Probably others.
Yeah, we lost one in the midweek too, but down to one. And man, if you could have bet on it, I wonder what odds you would have gotten on Purdue being the last undefeated team.
Yeah, that is pretty wild.
But hasn't quite played the level of competition. And they have one win against Charlotte in the midweek. I think that's their best win of the year. And you look at their schedule. They don't really have any great games on their schedule. They kind of have an easier Big Ten schedule. They do play Maryland and Michigan and Iowa, but I'm really curious what ends up happening with this team. This team is in the middle. Like I would have called it in the middle of a rebuild. When you go 15-0, I mean that's a nice way to kind of jumpstart a rebuild. So this team definitely looks like it has like a legitimate chance in terms of getting 30 wins and then maybe you make it into the tournament, but they have not really been tested. They have a 4-game series coming up this weekend against Illinois State, which is not top tier competition, but a team that does a pretty good job of things year in, year out. 6-6 on the year, had one opening day at Arkansas. So I'd say this is a non-trivial test for Purdue. If I had money on it, I would say Purdue is going to lose one of these games.
Yeah, that's probably a good pick. Like the Big Ten has had in the last like 15 years, an average of 3 teams make the tournament. So like this Purdue being one of those teams could push out one of the teams that we expected coming in the year. So we have like Michigan, Indiana, Iowa, and Maryland. Like those are the traditional top tier teams of the Big Ten. One of those would be pushed out, probably.
Minnesota back in the day.
Minnesota, yeah, sure. And yeah, and Nebraska, I guess, too. But that's not a traditional Big Ten team, I guess. But yeah, so it'd be interesting to see if they can keep this up. They have like a good, their schedule sets up well, like of Michigan, Maryland, they have both of those at home, Indiana at home. Yeah, like it's a pretty good schedule. Pretty well set up schedule, I guess.
Yeah, to win a lot of games. All right, so we have our pick 'em results from last week. You went 4-0, I went 2-1-1. Speaking of ties, I'm going to just say, for this doesn't matter at all, but Northeastern had a tie in midweek against UMass. And I'm just going to say the official College Baseball Nation stance on this is we do not recognize ties. So for all future reporting of Northeastern record that might come up with, they will not have their tie included because there's no ties in baseball.
There are ties in baseball, though.
No, it's a stupid thing. That's like Latin. And I think it was because it was, I think that was actually a home game for Northeastern. So that was played in some cold weather. And I think they just like were like, nah, this is too cold.
You just have to add an extra column to everything for ties.
No, I know. It ruins all of, like all the coding, all the spreadsheets, everything. And also it's a silly thing. There's no ties in baseball. So Northeastern has a no ties on the year. It's official. They're 7-7.
You can't change the official stat.
Watch me. Okay, with that said, there's a lot going on this weekend. I think it's going to take us a good while to mull over some of these series coming up because we have SEC play starting up, and we get some really fun series right off the bat. I think I'm fascinated to see what happens with Mississippi State at Georgia. We get a Big 12 series in TCU at Baylor. We have Texas State going on the road, which is Texas State is one of those squads that's been moving into top 30, top 25s of a lot of polls. So it's time to see if Texas State is truly a mid-major darling like they're panning themselves out to be after that 1-1 split against Texas and like what was probably the one of the most entertaining like two-game midweek series that I've ever watched, like pretty entertaining stuff.
Yeah, that seemed to really energize college baseball Twitter. Like just everyone seems to love to hate the number one team no matter who it is at the time. So it was fantastic.
Being Texas might have something to do with that too. I think Texas,
yeah, with the horns down stuff.
The Texas State pitcher throwing horns down. It was like the third time ever I think Texas State baseball has beaten the number one team. The last time we did it was against Texas in
the 80s, some of the 80s, I think.
It was in the two, it was 2000 something. It was the same year that Texas won the national champions. So I saw
2005 then. Yeah.
I saw, oh, that's right, 2005. Yeah, I saw some Texas fan saying, hey, last time Texas State beat us, we were number one, won the national championship. So, like, you know, forever that's worth.
Yeah, you can take some solace in that you're gonna definitely win the national championship this year.
Yeah. With that said, let's pick some games.
All right. I think it's your turn to give me the series first. Just guessing, though. Someone who listens to this every week will be like, "No, you idiots! It's not. It's Kyle's turn."
We need to we should take notes that have that because
we're not going
to
do that.
We have a spreadsheet for this. We don't have anyone in the spreadsheet. Just say who picks first. But I want to start off with a series for you that I think is going to be really tough to pick. We haven't touched base on it yet. I'm going to give you Stanford at Arizona. We haven't touched base on the fact that Stanford was our number two team and would have been a natural fit to slide up to number one had they won their series against Oregon. But Oregon took that series on the road at Stanford, won the first two games. Stanford salvaged the series. Stanford has been a team that has played best in its big games so far this year. It does not seem to be able to necessarily bring the same level of play outside that. So Oregon got a really big series win for the Ducks. I mean, I think that probably says more about Oregon than Stanford, but I'll let you decide now because I'm giving you Stanford at Arizona in a really tricky Pac-12 series to pick.
Yeah, that is tricky. I think I'm going to go with Arizona. I think this is just this is a really good Arizona offense that maybe their pitching staff is a little bit questionable, but it being at Arizona, I think is the key for me to push that over the edge. So I'm going to go Arizona, but I don't feel good about it. So I'm going to go 2 points.
You know what's wild? Stanford this year has lost twice on their Saturday game and has lost twice on their Friday night game. It's like, I don't know.
So Sundays they got down.
Well, they lost once on a Sunday too.
Yeah.
But normally, like, I don't know, when you think of the top teams, it's like they have Friday and Saturday on lock. and that's how they win the series. And Stanford lost Brandon Beck from a year ago, who had a really great performance at the College World Series. And I'd say they're feeling his absence because he was a very steady Friday starter for him. He guaranteed to go like seven innings, giving up like two or three runs or less. He was just a real workhorse for the Cardinals. So I'm curious to see if that pitching can find its way.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to give you. That's kind of okay. I'm going to give you TCU at Baylor, the rivalry.
Yeah, Big 12 is so odd in how they do conference play. I mean, Big 12 is odd in how they do a lot of things, but with the uneven conference play, this is the first series that we get in the Big 12, and it's a pretty good one. I'm liking what I'm seeing from TCU in terms of what they're bringing typically to the table in terms of their pitching staff on the weekend. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Horned Frogs here. I mean, similarly, because this is a road team that I'm picking to win this series, I don't want to give it too high of points. I'm going to leave this at 2 points as well.
I think that's fair. Yeah, TCU, am I still muted? No, I'm not. Okay. TCU seems to have the better overall offense. I mean, they are 97th in the country in weighted on base average, or WOBA, which is not fantastic, but it's better than Baylor's. And maybe that's just kind of who Baylor has played. It's kind of hard to tell at this point. WOBA will definitely be better as the season goes on, but yeah, you said TCU 2 points?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Obviously, we're going to get some SEC series in here.
Have to.
Because we have SEC play starting. And I'm going to give you the first one. I'm going to give you Bulldogs at Bulldogs, Mississippi State at Georgia, and a series that I don't know. Are you a believer that Mississippi State can get this – get bounced back, or where are you at here? Because this one I think could go either way.
It could go either way. We currently have Mississippi State ranked higher than Georgia, but I don't know if that's poll inertia or what. Like they've been ranked high. They were the reigning national champions, returning a ton, but they just lost two starting pitchers. It's really hard to predict at this point. And I'm going to go Georgia, picking another home team. I'm going to go 1 point, though, because I don't want the Bulldogs to be too mad at me. I can't go wrong either way by saying that.
You can't.
Your turn. I'll give you another SEC series, I think. You can pick Florida at Alabama.
I like this series. I think Florida, since losing opening weekend to Liberty, has been a very consistent team. Their staff ERA is under 3 on the year. So, I mean, that's going to get the job done. They're sitting at 2.78, which is like top 20 in the country. I think that is kind of, we knew heading into the year, that was going to be their strength. They also have a top 50 offense, though. So this is a team that I think is led by a resurging Jed Fabian that is doing a lot better than in his first draft eligible year. I think Alabama is going to be outclassed in this one, even though they have had, despite losing Connor Prelip, another one of the college arms that has gone down this year. Alabama themselves has a really impressive pitching staff. Themselves. So I'm gonna say Florida's gonna win this one. I think this is gonna be a tight series. I'm gonna put this up at 3 points. I think that this feels like a Florida win for me.
Yeah, that's, to be fair, that's probably who I would have picked too. Just feels like we haven't really talked much about Florida this year. They've kind of been under the radar because they weren't nationally picked number one like they have been the last few years, it seems like.
All right. So we've gotten through a lot of a couple of these big SEC series. I'm going to give you one that is a tough one to pick, in my opinion, which I guess is always the point of this. North Carolina at Duke. North Carolina is kind of, I mean, in some ways flying under the radar, but this was shocking. When I was looking at these ERA stats, their team ERA is 1.7 on the year. Is that a bug? Is that real?
No, that's real. They're second in the country.
That's pretty darn impressive. Not quite as impressive on the hitting side, but still top 75. But man, only team ahead of them is Virginia, 1.46 ERA.
Yeah, and Virginia's had like 5 shutouts, which is crazy.
They also had a streak of like 10 games scoring 10 runs or something ridiculous. Don't quote me on that one, but like it was like I saw. Yeah, it was just like, wow, this is wild.
Yeah. Well, with that said, I'm going to go North Carolina here. It seems fairly obvious to me. I mean, I still like Duke as a team. Like they kind of struggled to begin the year. They lost the series to Baylor at home.
Yep.
Or, no, on the road, I guess. But
Yep. They lost 2 out of 3 against Duke. Or sorry, against Baylor. Yeah. And then
they came back and won a game against Virginia, that really good pitching staff, but kind of got outclassed in games 1 and 2. Haven't really played anybody else besides them. So
yeah, I got outscored 18-1 to open up those first 2 games against Virginia.
Not fantastic. But yeah, I still think they could come back and win a game here. But let's see, I got 3 and 4 left. I'm gonna go 4 points here. It looks like I feel great about it. I don't know if I do. my turn to give you.
Give me your best shot.
Ooh, let's talk about the nation's darling, Texas State. So you can pick Texas State at Arkansas State. I'm taking your formula here, taking the road favorite going on the road, or the road favorite here.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, this is a strategy that is very frustrating.
Yes.
So Texas State, I wouldn't call them a huge surprise on the season, but they're definitely one of the better stories so far this year. They went 1-1 against Texas in the midweek, but they're 14-3 overall. They've swept Ohio State. They've won a series at Arizona. I mean, both of those series are going to be series that pay off in the long run. Ohio State's probably going to win a decent number of games. So that's going to be a nice little RPI boost. Obviously, winning road series at Pac-12 teams is a good thing to do.
I would say so.
This is a pretty old team. So this feels like a team that, despite the fact that, I mean, they've already won a road series at Arizona this year. So it's not like they should be shocked by going to an opponent, Arkansas State, which is just not the same caliber as Arizona. Starting off Sun Belt play, I think Texas State gets the job done. But let's put this down. I have 1 1-pointer and 2 4-pointers. Is that how?
Oh yeah, I gotta give you an extra one.
That's where we're at. So I have to decide how confident I am with this one. Man, I'm gonna go with 4 points. Let's go Texas State. Let's go Bobcats.
All right, really confident. One of your many.
Arkansas State is 4-9 on the year. They just lost a series. They went 0-2 at Missouri State. Previous weekend, they lost, went 1-3 on the weekend.
They have a 7.75 staff ERA.
Wow. Wait, is that real? Oh my God.
That's real.
And that's compared, I think, I wanted to say Texas State staff ERA was like 3.5 or something.
Yeah, 3.3.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, more than double. All right, I feel better about this. Texas State,
yeah.
Don't let me down, Bobcats.
You can give that 8 points and we don't have to do your...
No, oh, that's cool. I could just allocate my other 4 points other places.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
No, let's just do series. Give me an extra series. That seems better. But okay. Before then, I have one more I owe you, right?
Yeah, my 3-pointer.
Oh, I think that a series that is very... interesting to me, Texas Tech at Iowa. So got a lot love Texas Tech's willingness. I mean, they play what, Biloxi, Mississippi in the midweek, and they split that series against Mississippi State. And now they're going to Iowa. So, I mean, hats off Texas Tech, not afraid to drive a long distance.
Yeah, I like those, the Big 12 scheduling. It seems like they do a pretty good job. Well, at the top of the Big 12, Texas is not afraid to play anybody anywhere. Texas Tech is kind of also in that realm.
And Iowa likewise. I mean, they went to the Frisco Classic and they played
at
Irvine. So like I was also, I mean, most Big Ten teams are, but Iowa's been traveling around the country, and I mean, Iowa has racked up a couple wins against some top 100 teams. They beat Pepperdine, they beat Washington State, won one game at UC Irvine. So for like a Big Ten team being at 7-7, having not played like a home game yet, that's a pretty solid start to the year for Iowa.
Yeah, I agree. And let's see, Tech hasn't really had a tough weekend. They had that, yeah, like you said, they split Mississippi State in Mississippi, which is, it's just Biloxi, kind of a one of those home lean home neutral site games.
Yeah.
And then that State Farm College Baseball Showdown at Globe Life Field, question mark. They went 1-2 that weekend, but they played a really good Arizona team and an Auburn team that, who knows about that Auburn team, just lost series to Middle Tennessee State. But yeah, I'm so, this is on the road. I really like Tech as a team. Both of these teams are kind of in the top 25% or so in team WOBA. I think I'm going to go, this is a tricky one because it's at Iowa. So I'm going to go Iowa. And I think that's my 3-pointer. All right.
I like it. You know, Iowa's staff has 12 strikeouts per 9 innings. So that's
pretty good.
That is pretty impressive. I'm curious because that Texas Tech offense is can be a little swing and miss, a little power heavy. So we'll see. Iowa has fourth in the country in strikeouts. So I think that leaves me with two series, right? So
yeah, a one or and a four.
A tough one and an easy one. That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. Well, the easy one, Old Dominion at Middle Tennessee State.
Ooh. I'm glad I saved a 1-pointer. That's what I feel about this series. Yeah, I was recently looking at what Old Dominion's done this year. Because I feel like, I mean, that's a team that was one of those Conference USA teams that was in postseason last year and part of a very impressive performance by Conference USA. And I was kind of surprised to see that they're 13-1 on this year. So like Old Dominion is not letting off the gas, but they are also not really playing the top level competition. They played Iona on opening weekend, and last I checked, yeah, Iona hasn't won a game, and they've given up in their losses 20 runs, 29 runs, 27 runs, 24 runs, 19 runs. So anyways, that gives you an idea of Old Dominion's opponents so far this year. They do have a midweek against East Carolina, so that's going to be probably the best team they've played all year. Middle Tennessee, though, it's 6-10 on the year. Two of those three wins are against Auburn. At Auburn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's just say
I'm glad I gave you this one.
Old Dominion wins this one. I'll put it down at 1 point. I don't know. Lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place. Middle Tennessee can't back it up. Maybe something like that.
Yeah. It's as good of a guess as any, I guess.
Yeah. I'll live with the ramifications of my choices.
Another one that I'm curious about that you have to pick now, Miami at Clemson.
Ooh, this is a good one. Yeah, why did this?
I don't know how this made it this far.
Down so far. So Clemson, I mean, had the sweep of South Carolina. won 2 out of 3 against a pretty darn good Northeastern team, or at least a Northeastern team pitching staff that can hit, or sorry, that can pitch really well. And they scored 22 runs over the weekend against them. So that's the type of performance that when you're looking at yourself as Clemson, you got to feel pretty good about that. I mean, that Northeastern team just swept North Carolina State, so, you know, a conference foe. So you got to feel really good about that if you're Clemson, about where that might put you in terms of offenses in the ACC. Miami, I like Miami a lot. I think Carson Palmquist on Friday night is a really great starter. I think he's going to keep in Miami a lot of game ones and a lot of series. I mean, he had a really nice performance against Florida a couple weeks back, and what led to a Miami win. But then Miami lost the next two games. And I don't know. With that said, I'm gonna lean Clemson here. I'm not gonna feel really good about it, but I'm gonna say Clemson wins this series and put it in a 4-point slot for me, because that's all I have.
You have to. Yeah, that's a fair pick. And Clemson was just is pretty hot right now. They just beat South Carolina they swept South Carolina.
Yep.
Team that just beat Texas at home. So yeah,
the transitive property is falling apart. It's getting crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, hard to balance that at this point. And it'll get even harder.
All right. There's the pick 'em for this week, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. Last thing that I want to touch base on, moments before we're recording this podcast, apparently the Senate just unanimously passed a bill that will make it so permanently daylight savings time starting in 2023. Still has to go through the rest of Congress and get signed by the president before it becomes a law, or at least that's what Schoolhouse Rock told me. But that I think that actually has interesting ramifications for college baseball, because that would mean that starting in 2024 for college baseball, those February games are going to be played with a little bit more daylight. So we might actually get February games. Like, I feel like in February, you always get like, okay, it's a 6 p.m. start. We moved it up to 2 p.m. because it's going to be like 12 degrees at 6 p.m. So let's play it at 2 p.m. instead. So, you know, we'll get a little bit more daylight in those cold February games in college baseball if all this pans out starting in 2024. So that's a fun little college baseball side effect to that legislation.
That's incredible news.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're gonna. It's gonna take a little while before it, you know, affects college baseball. But
yeah, that's fine though. I guess we're never getting back that hour sleep we just lost though.
Yeah, well, we're doing one more round of daylight savings time because apparently the airlines were like, "Nah, we can't handle this." So give us a year to implement it. So we'll see what happens. But there's hope for those cold winter nights.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks for listening at home. If you liked us, give us a rating on iTunes. That helps us get out the word about the podcast. And go check out our stuff at collegeballnat on Instagram and Twitter, or on our website, collegebaseball.info. Thanks for listening and have a great week.